Last year, 26,000 products on sale or heading for the shelves and deemed to be a danger to the public were destroyed on the orders of the National Consumer Agency, which publishes its annual report for last year this morning. Joining us in studio is the agency's chief executive, Karen O'Leary. Good morning. Thank you for coming in. 26,000 products, presumably not all different products, but what was in that mix?
Well, as you just mentioned, the National Consumer Agency has just published our annual report. Our job is to protect consumers by enforcing consumer law, to empower consumers with information and to represent consumers at the policy table. Part of our protection role includes a significant role in the area of product safety, most of the rules of which come from European directives, so we have some fairly strong powers in that area. As people will understand, the most effective way of ensuring that only safe products reach the shelves is to stop them at the point of entry. So we have very good relations with the customs authorities, and we would send authorised officers to the ports, and we would look at consignments.
So people should be comforted that you're on top of the brief, as it were.
Yes.
But what were you destroying last year in such large numbers?
There was a number of consignments. The sorts of items that were involved would have been low-value, mixed consignments, including sunglasses, soft toys, kind of unbranded but non-compliant soft toys, laser pointers, which, as you know, are quite dangerous, mobile phone chargers, which were non-compliant, mixed plugs, other chargers, other batteries. So numbers of consignments of various products.
These are the sort of things being stopped at ports that would normally perhaps not end up in a reputable shop.
Well, whether they're reputable or not, the products themselves are non-compliant. So they might end up in low-value shops and pound shops or in stalls. But ultimately, our role in product safety covers all products. So we're also part of the European-wide product rapid alert system called RAPEX. And what that means is other European countries who find unsafe products, whether they're branded or not, will notify via the RAPEX system where there's a risk.
And the lasers that you bought, these are the lasers that people can point at airplanes and so on.
Exactly.
Huge dangers. Big increase in those, or what would you, how would you describe them?
Not necessarily an increase. Obviously, surveillance activity that we carry out is really important for prevention. It isn't possible to say whether that's an increase or a decrease, just that they've been found and destroyed.
And another point in the annual report, 115 enforcement actions. What typically is involved there? Not the process, but what sort of areas?
The areas we focused on during the year were unfair terms in consumer contracts in the waste sector. So we found significant breaches of consumer law with the terms of people's contracts.
So is this the bin collection company,
yes,
for instance?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. We also found, we did work in the e-commerce area, so obviously online purchasing is growing. And there are particular rules that businesses who operate online or who sell online need to comply with, and we did some work.
Had some success with Aer Lingus and Ryanair.
We did, yes. So we secured compliance notices, which are enforcement actions, against Aer Lingus and Ryanair for failure to have email addresses on their websites.
So this is, in other words, if I've got a problem with the booking, I have somebody to email and
exactly.
I can expect a response.
Exactly. The e-commerce directive means you have to, if you're involved in online purchasing or online trading, you have to have an email address.
Okay. Just two prosecutions
Yes.
in the whole year, and those were for clocking cars. Is that
Yes.
not very low for an agency with such big teeth?
Well, I think there's two issues underlying the level of prosecutions. The first thing is we have a range of enforcement powers. And what that means is we can take appropriate action depending on the nature of the breach. Some breaches are more serious than others. And also, we would seek compliance in the first instance. Where it's not forthcoming, we would then take enforcement action.
And yet they're for clocking cars. It's pretty obvious you're going to take a prosecution in that case.
Well, they
it?
Are very serious offences, and they are criminal breaches of consumer law.
Every car clocking incident discovered resulted in a prosecution?
Not necessarily, no, because obviously for car clocking and for criminal prosecutions, it is necessary for two things to happen. Firstly, the evidence has to stack up, and sometimes not all evidence is available, or there may be an issue with the chain of ownership of the car in terms of where it has been. The other issue, which is really important actually, is that the consumer who makes the complaint or discovers that their car may have been clocked needs to actually stay with the process. We need a witness.
Okay, so it doesn't relate to maybe resources that you have
No.
at your disposal to pursue complaints. Because for years there was an argument to give your agency or the predecessor real teeth in terms of being able to prosecute. People might be scratching their heads a little bit and saying, well, are they actually using this resource to the best effect?
I think the powers that we have are sufficiently strong to mean that very often compliance is secured simply by engagement, simply by saying, we believe there's a breach here, we want you to put it right right. And because traders understand the powers that we have, they very often do that.
Okay.
So we get compliance. The ultimate issue here is to solve the problem and to achieve compliance.
What's the big issue for you this year? What are you looking at particularly? What do you want to address?
Well, we are looking at issues consumers are having in the telecoms area, particularly in relation to faulty mobile phones. As you know, there's a growth.
This is the handset or the service?
The handset.
The handset, yeah.
And interestingly, you should say that because actually one of the features of the market in recent years has been a combination of the sale of a smartphone along with a bill pay contract.
Mm.
And there are competitive pressures on the industry. There are hugely beneficial deals out there for consumers. The issues we're seeing coming through our helpline and the statistics we're looking at is that consumers are very confused on their rights when something goes wrong with the phone.
Okay.
And we're looking at that area where we're engaging with the telecoms operators at the moment to see if we can solve those problems.
All right, well, very good. Listen, Karen O'Leary of the National Consumer Agency, thank you very much for coming in.